Hi.
Here.
Melinda France.
Here.
And Brenna Whitaker is in the building. Pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Catherine, who's taking over the place?
I guess I'm going to be the chair today. Let me just get out of my excess clothing here. And public comment. Do we have any public comment? We have some public. Do you have comment? Okay. The chairman's not here, so we don't have any chairman's comments. Well,
deputy chairman is here.
Yeah, but she doesn't have any comment.
Moving right along.
She's just happy to be here. The approval of minutes. The October 5th, both we have the public hearing, as well as the regular meeting minutes. So let's see. Do we have a motion for the approval of the public hearing minutes on October 5th?
So moved.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. He's got to call a roll.
Do we have to do a roll call?
Not on that, no.
Okay. So, passed.
Approved.
Okay, the minutes on the regular board meeting, which I saw there was some correspondence going back and forth while I was busy in my lawsuit, so I had no clue what was going on. Have they been corrected properly?
Not in this text. You had a comment?
It is changed.
Oh, it is changed?
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's...
Page 5.
It was 9:39.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Is so. That to a vote?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Joanne seconds.
So yeah. Machines or no? Were they
okay? Lisa it? Makes the motion. Joanne seconds.
No.
All in favor?
I can't hear you.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Next meeting is scheduled for Monday, November 23rd at 12 noon.
And I will not be here at that meeting. I will be dedicating my body to Sloan.
Dedicating your body to Sloan?
Yeah, it's my
planning on leaving us soon? Or
No. It's
making pre-arrangements.
No, this is just my yearly checkup.
Oh, okay.
I've donated everything from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. They just have, but it's done on the 23rd.
I would like to do it with Albany Medical Center, but they have weight restrictions, so I may not get down.
Really donate your body?
Yeah.
No, because they accepted a friend of mine's mother.
Albany Medical Center might be different.
But no, at Albany Med.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll have to see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, so I will not be at the 23rd meeting.
Would we want to meet then, or?
Sorry, that was the only time that I could get all the tests done at the same time.
I see. Okay.
November 30th works for me.
Oh, that's my old marriage.
Anniversary,
yeah.
You want to celebrate your anniversary with us?
Right, sure. Paul's not here, so I might as well do it with us. Okay, so let's go to the 30th.
I'm here no matter what. You want to move it to the 30th?
How's that for Charlie Landy?
No, I'm fine. I can be either date.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with either date.
I'll bring the cake.
On the 30th it is.
Okay. That sounds good.
There. Cool. Noon. Okay, it's in pen.
Okay, yep, mine too.
Okay. Thank you for doing that.
Are we ready for the recycling outreach team program update?
We are ready. Thank you. So for the month of October, our recycling outreach team has been promoting the safe disposal programs for sharps and medication. In October, we're celebrating National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. So I've asked Linda to speak a little bit about safe disposal medication, and then I will add some comments regarding products.
So the Drug Enforcement Administration's National Prescription
prescription take-back day was on October 24th. The National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day aims to provide a safe, convenient, and responsible disposal of prescription drugs while also educating the general public about the potential for abuse of medications. According to a 2018 National Survey of Drug Use and Health, 9.9 million Americans misuse controlled substances. The study shows that a majority of abuse prescription drugs were obtained from family and friends in your own medicine cabinet. To learn more about the National Prescription Take-Back Day, please visit, they have a website, it's called takebackday.dea.gov, which has a list of registered drop-off locations and more information about the Take-Back Day. Improper abuse and storage and disposal of pharmaceuticals threatens the public health and the health of the environment. You do not need to wait for a Take-Back Day in order to get rid of prescription medications. We have a list on our website of all the drop-off locations, but most police departments in Ulster County accept medications, which also includes SUNY Ulster and SUNY New Paltz campuses. Prescriptions are over-the-counter medications, vitamins, pet meds, lotions, liquid medicines are all accepted at the drop-off location. Please just remember to keep the medications in the original containers. And now Angie's going to discuss Sharps.
Thank you, Melinda. So Sharps are home-use medical needles, syringes, lancelets, and they do not belong in a recycling bin. Not only do Sharps contaminate the recycling, but they pose serious dangers to recycling workers who become exposed to them and other blood-borne pathogens. It's estimated that 45% of all injuries at recycling facilities result from needles that end up in the recycling, or an estimated 2.7 incidents per 100 recycling employees, which is a very, very shocking number.
That's scary.
The Solid Waste Association of North America claims that concerns about needle stick injuries are on the rise due to an aging population, the home management of medical conditions increasingly becoming more prevalent, like diabetes, for example, and confusion around the proper disposal of Sharps and home-use medical needles. So all hospitals and nursing homes in New York State are mandated by law to accept home-use medical needles as a free community service. And we maintain a list of those safe disposal locations on our website under the Resources tab. And it's certainly an important issue, so we've dedicated the whole month of October to this important issue and raising awareness about how to safely discard your home-use medical needles. We advocate that the Sharps should be stored in an FDA-approved Sharps disposal container, which are available through pharmacies, medical supply companies, healthcare providers, or purchased online. Some community guidelines, including resources by DEC and the health department, recommend using a heavy-duty plastic household container as an alternative when an FDA Sharps container cannot be purchased. Plastic laundry detergent containers, for example, are considered to have those desired features of a Sharps container, being that they're leak resistant, they remain upright, they have a tight fitting puncture resistant lid, etc. But there are obvious disadvantages to using a container that's recyclable, with it being mislabeled or improperly discarded. So we promote that you should use an FDA red Sharps container. You can get them at your pharmacy, and some hospitals also provide them as well. So this is a big issue. As I mentioned, we've dedicated a whole month to our social media campaign. A sample of our newspaper ad is included in the board packet. And you know, we see a relatively low volume of recyclables here, but that risk for the Sharps being in the recyclables is always there. So we have an extensive staff training program that Charlie directs, and we have discovery protocols for Sharps. We work with a safe disposal vendor for if and when those Sharps come in with the recycling, and we hope that we can limit that as much as possible. So thank you for your attention to this. Any questions?
Yes, Angie, I have a question. On the everything that you said, I agree with, but on the invoices and expenditures report of this month, it seems as though Uncle Jim's Worms Farm, and I'm sure you have a scientific answer for this, but we bought 500 red worms, one worm factory, one worm blanket, and FSR grant, it comes under the FSR grant, and it cost us $218.92. Would you like to explain why we're buying worms?
Sure. So red wiggler worms are good for home composting. because they can eat a lot of food scraps. So we purchased a worm bin under this home composting education grant so that we can add that to our demonstrations about home composting. So we'll be able to bring them to classrooms if we ever get back in the classrooms, because I found that especially the young children love to see it for themselves, what's going on in there. So we'll be bringing the worm farm to different programs that we do, just having it as part of our home composting demonstration site. So people who do want to compost, but they're afraid of doing it because they might not have leaves, or they might have a landlord who doesn't want them to use the outdoor space. So they might not have a big backyard. Like me, I live in an apartment, so I can compost with worms right in my basement. So that's the nature of the purchase. And
I figured there was a scientific explanation.
How big are these worms? Are they?
Or the worm farm? Is it like an ant farm? Like
the one? They're actually in Angie's office. If you wanted to see the worms and the
come
bin
for
that
a worm tour.
You could have had them on display here. You know.
Any topics that you're interested in, we would love to bring to you. We can do a whole update just on worm composting because I find it really fascinating. I do.
Okay.
And so do kids.
Yes, they really do. I've always found that children are really fascinated by it, and it's something that it's a wow factor when you open the container and they can put their hands in there and see it all happening. So.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah,
thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. So is that everything related to recycling?
Yeah.
And what else we got here? MSW tonnage report.
So for the month of September, our target tonnage for MSW 11,380. We did 12,874, so we're over by 1,494. Slugs, our target was 333, we were under at 298, so we were off by 35. Year to date, we are over our target of tons by 5,604, or 5.8%. So I'd estimate by the end of the year, we should be around 137,000 tons if everything stays as it has the first 9 months. It's actually pretty close to last year. Another item I wanted to point out is, just so you know, if you look at our actual diverted tons, it says 1,128. That same time last year, we had only done 684 tons. So kudos to Charlie and his team for the extra effort in diverting volume out of our transfer stations.
Where is this diverted place?
This last column.
Far right.
Mine says total. Does that mean total of diversion?
Yeah, total tonnage diverted that month. And then the bottom right says 1,128 total tons per year.
Great.
We like that.
Yeah, that is good. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Do we have to approve this one? Okay. How about the recycling tonnage report?
Yep. So for the month of September.
I see. Yeah, I was looking at the wrong one. I wonder.
You see, I noted we had a little uptick for Comingle, Mixed News, and OCC. The Greene County Solid Waste Department, September was the first full month that they brought us material. So I wanted to note what they brought us for that month. So in Comingle, they brought us 11.63 tons. Mixed News, they brought us 19.2, and Cardboard, they brought us 2.28. So they're, especially the Mixed News and the Comingle, they're the pretty much the reason for the strong uptick there.
Okay.
All right.
And that's working out well, I think.
Yep. And we're still getting rid of the glass for free.
And I just want to say, so the trailers, I think it was four trailers so far. We got from four or five trailers, all control trailers of Comingle.
Yeah. Yep.
So they range anywhere from 2 to 4 tons. They're very light because there's no glass. There's no garbage. It's like perfect recycling. Not a lot of clamshell. It's all really, really good stuff.
It's clean. When you look at it, if you go down to the MRF, you can see the piles. You can see the good Comingle versus the bad Comingle just by the color. If it's bright, you know it's good stuff.
how do they collect it in Green County?
You know, I never asked how they collect it, Lisa. Okay. All I know is that we're just working together, trying to help each other out. We have resources, they have resources, so that's kind of what we're doing. And it's been working out for both us and them. So, but I got to tell you, right, because the DPW is the one that runs our solid waste, and, you know, we have a lot more as far as outreach, education, as far as Melinda and Angie and stuff, and it's, they're the DPW, and their commingle is unbelievable when you think about it. Hmm. So I was pretty amazed. I have pictures if anybody wants to see them, so I can send them to you.
So I wonder what they're doing differently than we're doing, and what we can learn from them. Or do you think it's
any City of Kingston? Any thoughts on that, Charles? I have some thoughts on it.
Okay.
You know, they pretty much run their own show. Uh-huh. There's not a lot of interference from the outside. This is how when they get. This is because when they first came in, there was some garbage. I said, no, this is what you need. And right after that, everything was perfect. Hmm. So there's just, you know, the superintendent decides how they're going to do things, and they do it. There's nobody saying we think we need to do this, we think we need to do that. I mean, they just run their own show.
Do they have mostly haulers bringing stuff, or do they have a lot of individual people coming?
I think they have residents bringing them to different drop areas, and then you know, and then they're bringing them to their main place and loading them into our trailer. So I know they're trucking from point A to point B, and then they're bringing it, you know, here. We actually go pick the trailer up.
I wonder what their message is to the residents. Is they're getting good recyclable?
Joanne, I can only tell you that I continue to be amazed on how clean it is.
Okay. Well, I would like ours to be that clean. Then.
I would too.
I wonder what the breakdown is of like collection service compared to people going to drop-off centers compared to say us. Mm-hmm. Just as a starting point, you know, could have something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, so let's see. Recycling market update. It's hiding behind the green sheet.
Oh, that's actually Charlie just speaking to you guys. We have a narrative that's listening on.
Yeah. What's a little graph?
So.
Let's see it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I can never find anything either.
So when I look at, you know, October versus September, our PET is flat. Natural, right, there continues to be a pretty big demand. So natural continues to rise. It was up as high as 73 cents. Started off at 62. That's pretty amazing. I've never, ever seen natural sell for so much. Mm-hmm. The collard was pretty amazing also, right? We watched the collard go up from like around 10 cents to 12 cents, which is, we'll see. In the good days, right, collard always fell 10 cents behind the natural. So if natural was selling for 35 cents, collard was selling for 25 cents. Mm-hmm. We've had bad times with collard. There hasn't been much of a demand, and there has been a lot of it. A lot of material and not much of a demand, so the numbers drop. But for in 1 month, right, so we see it go up 10 cents, which is unusual. Mm-hmm. Steel went up to a 145. 145 is a fair number, right? You know, a great number, 175, mm-hmm. 195, 200. But 145 is a fair number. So steel is doing good. When I say steel, we're talking about your toilet can. Right? So that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about steel from the transfer station or the light tin. I'm talking about our Goya cans, soup cans, and stuff like that here. So those numbers are looking actually fair. The cardboard, right? We took a dip on the cardboard. You know, it remains, you know, cardboard is just one of those things where you just never know where it's going to fall month to month, week to week. Mm-hmm. So we took about a $15 hit on that from last month to this month. So we're down to 50, which is not a big number. It's an awesome number. You start to get around 35, 40, and you're going to start to see some cost on, you know, hard mix and stuff like that that we have. Your news is 20. So the news pretty much stayed flat. And your and your hard mix, you're getting $5 a ton. So it was up to 10, dropped down to 5. That's where we're at. So once you start seeing that cardboard number start to fall down around $35, $40 a ton, you're going to see your cost on that hard mix because it's just too labor intensive to separate. Like I said, it's a three bear story, right? Too much cardboard to sell it as a mixed news, too much mixed news to sell it as a cardboard, and it's not just right. So that's all I have on that. I want to make it short and sweet for you folks.
It's just so everybody knows, when Charlie gets his update, it's for current, so there's no backup papers or anything. The graphs that you see in there, they relate to the prior months because they tie into sales with regards to the Merck P&L. So when you hear him say something,
yeah,
you should
it's
actually
not,
see
yeah.
what he's saying reflected next month so that you can tie everything together.
Thank you.
Yep. Whereas we used to be, like when I used to talk about this stuff, it was always too late.
Yeah,
so I'm giving you numbers, right? It already happened, already sold, right? Doesn't matter. We're on to something new. These are actual current numbers that will be reflected next month.
Correct.
Good. Okay. So, any questions? Are we ready for the Treasurer's report?
Ready?
The big green page here.
All right. The month of September, we did 9,169 tons of MSW, 3,705 tons of C&D. Revenue line items to note, we did receive some money from the FSR grant in the amount of $1,372. Total revenue for the month was $1,519,589. There are no expense line items of note. Total operating expenses for the month, $1,234,272, which gave us net operating revenues of $285,317. Capital outlay, $98,916. That relates to compost expansion costs, $49,558. And when we get to the end of all this, I will pass out, we'll have a full summary of where we spent and what the cost was. That'll be included on our fixed assets that you're in. The recycling ed building, $4,131, and we received the baler for our cylinder for the marathon baler, $49,227. So our fund balance for the month was positive $186,401. So our year to date is at a deficit of $1,676,009. Mm-hmm. So a lot of investments going on this year. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one we have to approve, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
To I'll approve second it. The treasurer's report.
I'll do a roll call on this one. Fred Wagnola is not here. Catherine Weintopper.
Aye.
Charles Land.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
Joanne Myers.
Aye.
Okay. Approved 4-0.
Let's see. The MRF cost analysis. Did we already do that? That was Brad.
So for the month of September, we had sale recyclables totaled $22,180. Transport and disposal costs, MRF MSW, $1,684. So our net revenue for those items is $20,496. MRF personnel expenses, $32,045. And the operating expenses, $7,271. Total personnel and operating was $39,756. So our net loss for the month was $19,260. Our year-to-date net loss is
$233,598. Mm-hmm. That's really the cost of recycling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Looks like we're ready to get into our resolutions here. We have resolution number 2519, approving the 2021 final agency budget, which I guess that's the green paper behind the resolution.
Yep.
Do we have any questions about it or anything?
Did everyone receive my email? Mm-hmm. I wanted to give a little, and I'll just go over quick what my email said.
Okay.
Mainly, I had mentioned when we did it back in August, our preliminary draft that we sent out, that there might be a change when we did the final budget, depending on how our sludge bid came in. So I did put in some changes in here with regards to sludge. Which also had a small effect on our capital budget, which will be the next resolution as well. Mm-hmm. So, and while I was doing that, I figured I might as well make it as accurate as possible. We got our actual rates for health insurance. So I had originally estimated based on what MDP had sent me, what they had requested from the state of an 8% increase, it came in at 6%. So I made that change as well, which I noted in detail in the email to you guys. And so the net result of that was about a $36,000 increase in expenses, which I, as I had stated back in August, I ran through the operating reserve to keep everything flat. So mm-hmm. the bottom line has not changed at all with regards to all that.
Mm-hmm. That is updated with real numbers.
Yep.
Let's see.
We have
to do a roll call on this one.
Yeah.
Motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay.
Don't fight over it.
Fred Watt-Nolan is not here. Catherine Beinkoff.
Aye.
Charles Land.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
Joanne Myers.
Yes.
Passes 4 to
0. Thank you for the real numbers.
Mm-hmm. That was very efficient. That was good. Okay. So let's see, the next resolution we have is approving the 2021 final agency capital plan, resolution number 2520. And it looks like behind the resolution is the capital plan from 2021 to 2025.
So I made an update on this once again because it had the sludge ditch came in. In mm-hmm. August, originally we had on here $180,000 for two steel dump trailers to possibly mm-hmm. transport our own sludge. Mm-hmm. And the way the bids turned out, it wasn't cost effective for us to do that. So we're going to contract out for that. So I spoke to Charlie Whitaker. There's a need for 20 roll-off containers. So I placed $180,000 for the dump trailers with $160,000 for the roll-off containers, so effectively lower our capital budget by $20,000, which ran in through the operating budget as I spoke of before. That's it.
Very good. Okay. I have to say, having seen the roll-off containers, they're looking much better now than they did way back when I was on the board before.
And these will be for, these containers Tim's talking about, will be for the garbage at the drop centers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the last time we actually purchased new containers, I think it was 10 containers for garbage, I think was back in,
we bought glass boxes. 08? Most recently.
Yeah, I think it was 08 though. Right around remember mm-hmm. the fire at the...
Specifically garbage boxes?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, so I think it was like 08 or something like that there. Yep. Yeah, so that's when we bought like 10 of them, and that was the insurance money that we got from our fire from the So long overdue.
Okay, any other concerns, questions, or comments?
What does our treasurer think of all of these? If you haven't, you on board?
I do.
Okay, that's all I wanted. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'll make the resolution.
The motion.
Motion, sorry.
Second.
Okay, let's bring it to a vote. Roll call. Fred Bodnoll is not here. Catherine Von Koffer.
Aye.
Charles Landry.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
Joanne Myers.
Yes.
Passes 4-0.
Okay, good. And we have resolution number 2521, approving the agreement with Marshall and Sterling Health Dental and Vision Plans for employee health care insurance. And that is also followed by a page of...
Yeah, that's a comparison for our renewal.
Numbers. MVP.
So Marshall and Sterling is our broker. They broker our health insurance. And all three of these plans, our health, dental, and vision, are exactly the same. And that's a requirement of our collective bargaining agreement. And collective bargaining agreement is 2017 through the end of this year. And these have been the same plans the entire time. The renewal numbers are good. Dental and vision stay flat. There's no changes to that at all. And as I previously mentioned, the health insurance is going up 6%, which is actually 2% less than what we requested in the beginning. Mm-hmm.
Tim, from the original budget, you made an adjustment to this item. What was the reason for the adjustment?
Because it went, the requested 8%, it only came in at 6%. So when I was doing the budget back in August, all I had was MVP's request to the state, okay. So I went off of that. But between August and when I prepared this, we got our actual renewals, and it was only 6%. So that's what
changed. Okay, thank you.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's excellent, in fact. Mm. I know. When I was in MVP, I thought it was a great plan.
Yeah, me too.
Now I'm an old fart with Medicare. Okay. Shall we entertain a motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, so Charlie and Joanne.
Okay. Roll call. Fred Wadzola's not here. Catherine Blind-Kaufner.
Aye.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten?
Aye.
Joanne Myers?
Aye.
Oh, this is exciting. Resolution number 2522, approving the solid waste management agreements between Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency and towns. How many agreements do we have that we're going to approve?
So I had mentioned to you that we had drafted contracts that Ken looked at and reviewed it, and we sent them out to a few towns.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had our last board meeting on the 5th, that was. So between then and last Friday,
mm-hmm.
we received a couple of towns had their meetings, they approved the contracts, and those three, so that's what I have on here. Those three towns are the town of Marbletown, town of Plattekill, and Esopus. So this resolution is approving those contracts that have been approved on the town side.
Tim, what is different about the way Shandaken handles its recycling and the rest of the towns that you have to make a stipulation for Shandaken?
Oh, no, we don't have to make a stipulation per se. The Shandaken's contract just should be drafted with them because they don't have MSW boxes. They only do recycling. So Charlie and I were discussing that, and we decided it made sense, instead of just giving them the same boilerplate contract that every other town has, that technically operates different than they do.
Uh-huh.
We're just drafting up one that's more specific to them. And really, that's just removing a lot of the clauses related to MSW or CD or mm-hmm. things like that. So like I said, it's just recycling. So. We're going to do it right. That's the gist of it.
So what, they have haulers to pick up in their town?
No, we still service them. It's that we only do recycling boxes. They only do recycling at that transfer station.
Have they been approached about that change?
No, I haven't sent out the draft yet.
But you'll be doing that.
Yeah, it really don't matter, Charlie, because all of the they should have pretty much questioned the last contract, because this contract reflects truly what they're doing at the place.
Right.
The last one did not. So that's what Tim and I have discussed. We want the contract to reflect the operation. So, and it's just commingled newspaper and cardboard. They go to Starbucks with their trash, and a lot of times they go to Green County with some of their trash, which is fine because residents can do that under flow control law. So this is just for recycling, and that's what the contract specifies.
But that has nothing to do with this resolution.
Okay, yeah.
Nothing at this point, no.
Okay, bring that to a vote. Motion, please.
I'll move. Okay.
Second.
All right. All in favor? Fred Budnoa, not here. Catherine Bynkoff.
Aye.
Charles Land.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
Joanne Myers.
Aye.
Okay, passes 4-0. And as you said, there are each of these towns that sent and agreed to sign it and send it back and bring it up.
Yeah, it just depends on when they're meeting.
That's the big part of it. Yep.
So you're sending out some more now?
Yep. I just most recently sent out the town of Gardner, but I don't think their meeting is until November 4th, she said. So. Mm. And I think two of the other towns like just had theirs on Thursday or Friday. So.
Well, Worthing has their board meeting today.
What's that?
Well, Worthing has their board meeting.
Oh, okay.
Today.
So there's only one last idea there. Mm-hmm. So it's just the timing.
Okay, sounds good. Let's see, resolution number 2523, local solid waste management plan adoption, State Environmental Quality Review Act. You want
to
see?
I'll describe that one if I can.
Sure.
We're doing this at the request of the Environmental Committee and Chairman Donaldson to redo, and first of all, to invoke our resolution previously on September 10th, 2516, and to then today to acknowledge that we are still requested to be lead agency, and the LSMP is type one. And then we would be do our due diligence in the next 30 days or more, and then decide whether or not it's a negative or positive debt.
Somehow that disagrees completely with what Seeker actually says. Did you read what I sent out?
Yeah, but this is an agreement between the parties for a resolution of all outstanding matters so that this can get finally passed. We're just doing it again.
So you want to make it a type one?
Yes.
Why?
Well, that's what that's what the DE said and their attorney said.
Okay.
And then this allows it to then our plan to move out of your
this allows
committee?
It to go forth after this is approved and we send the lead agency notice. And then we have to determine whether or not it's a positive or negative deck by our own communication studies and various things for the next board meeting, hopefully. Okay. And then it goes to the county.
Oh, okay. So this allows the plan to move forward, right? Yes? No? Maybe? Okay.
Thank you for meeting.
Okay.
So I have never been involved in the secret process before, so this is all very confusing.
Yes.
And so, as our legal counsel on this, you are encouraging us to pass
yes. this? Yes. Hopefully, any disputes between the legislature and our agency will be resolved by this.
And so, what kind of impact is this going to... Is this going... It has no financial impact. Does this have impact over, like, what our staff do for the next 30 days?
No. No. It's only what our board determines.
Essentially, all the plan is going to do is get a lot of trees cut down because we're going to have a lot of pieces of paper. And that's it. Oh, and maybe we'll use some ink to put on the paper.
So watch out, squids?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I
so
just wanted to keep
basically,
on.
You know, there is no action in the plan. The plan is to figure out and make decisions about some action we're going to do in the future.
No EIS is what you're saying.
Yeah. I believe it's really type 2. Because the thing I sent around was the list of type 2s. There were two numbers in there that were what we're doing.
Yeah. But I think that this is something between the DEC local or local regional and... Mm-hmm.
We've got different versions of what it is. So this is something that we've all agreed to do so that we can resolve it.
Yeah.
We have staff attorney saying one thing, we have local regional people saying another.
Yeah. So move the resolution forward.
So we're playing safe is what you're saying.
Yes.
That's correct.
It's CYA.
It may have not been necessary.
Right.
We're playing it safe.
Yeah.
I'll second the motion.
How many votes do you need to pass this?
Three.
Okay. Because I'll abstain.
Okay. Well, let's bring it to a vote.
Okay.
Fred Wadnola is not here. Catherine Beinkoffer.
Abstain.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Lisa Mitten.
Hi.
Joanne Meyer.
Yes.
Okay. Passes 3-0 with one abstention. Okay. Old business, I guess. Charlie, you're
sorry.
On.
Charlie
Whitaker.
Scale project update.
Scale, buddy.
How are we doing?
So, the scales, Tim, by the way, we got to meet with, the contractor and Rich tomorrow 1 o'clock. So everything is done, 100%. All the blacktopping was done on Friday. the MERS scale, the Ulster inbound, and the Ulster outbound scales, all the railings. We did a lot of our own work on this to save money. I do have some pictures, which I can send you, show you guys. So we're done. Everything is
Yay, team.
It looks really good.
It looks really good. It's really safe. It's long overdue. We got the drains in. We got safety railings up. It looks really, really good. And I'll show you. I've got some pictures here. I'll pass around to you guys.
So when we come for compost, where do we go?
You will go right to the MERS scale, just like you did before. Tim and I are also getting some barriers so we can do something with a little bit to make the traffic a little bit more organized once they get down to the garbage building and stuff. So we'll be working with that with the folks. And there's also some compost pictures. These are the for the educational building committee. Uh-huh. So you guys can take a look at these. And here's the wall. These are the wall. We did all this work ourselves.
Wow.
Yeah. So we did all this work ourselves. That's the scale. So you can look at all the pictures.
Okay, thank you.
Charlie, last time these wound up in my
You could have them. That's fine.
Okay, not a problem?
Not a problem. Okay. Matter of fact, actually, Charlie's going to give you these pictures too.
Okay.
They're on my computer. I wanted to get you guys a lot more, but I was also doing a bunch of diversion numbers, which I gave him before to look at, and I wanted to get my stuff together on the recycling, so I didn't get a chance to print off as many pictures as I wanted to for you folks, so you could see more.
Andy, are your initials in here?
Good idea. I would like to put them down there, Charlie.
Well, jackhammer it out.
When will the building be complete?
So we got one more area to do for the sidewalk, small area, and the slab and sidewalks will all be done. And then it's just a matter of getting approval from the PEC to move forward, which is contingent on our permits to do a modification. Listen, if it was us next week, we could do it. But it's.
Realistically, realistically, the end of this year, beginning of next year.
Ken, to give you an honest answer, if it was up, if we got our approval from the DEC, I could do it next week. It's really based on that.
Ooh, what is that flying?
I don't know.
So I have to get my permits to do a modification to get that building.
Well, we're not capable with regards to the DEC. Yeah. So.
But it wasn't smart. It hit the went right into the
stink bug.
Oh, therefore it's not smart.
That's why you don't have
any. That's why we don't get the answers from them.
Yeah.
Is this intended as a classroom, or is this is there going to be a curated space?
The
killer.
It started out with the idea of. We needed to build something for the bagging operation, you know, because we still haven't done that yet. And then while we were, you know, looking at the area, that was when we just started brainstorming about, you know, what else we could do, you know, and that's where we spun the idea.
Well, we started thinking about solid waste management.
We have
some things that we have to, we have some deadlines that we have to meet and some tasks that we have to continue to do. So thinking about that, right, we're like, well, how could we do a little bit more? Because we started off with a 24 by 24 building to do the bagger. We had the bagger for 2 years. It's brand new. We haven't used it. We would have used it, and we would have had bags for sale, but we're dealing with this hard mix dilemma. So while we were down there, we were like, well, how can we, you know, start hitting some of our some of our goals on the solid waste management plan and use this building? So we went from a 24 with 36, so 36 by 36, and then we brought the engineers in. Of course, we've got to get approval from them because it's on the footprint of our permit. And that's when we did the sidewalks, we did the whole parking area, you know, walking into the educational building, so you can look at the MRF. Inside the educational building, there'll be a large screen TV where you can actually go back and watch the guys compost. You can go back in time. And, you know, because these guys come in at 4 o'clock in the morning. So when Angie's doing her classes, she will be able to, on her big screen TV, show everybody the whole screening process, the mixing of food, you know, rather, like right now, currently, you have to catch us doing it in order to see it. Mm-hmm. When this is done, you'll be able to see anything that we're doing anytime. So that's how it all came about. So it came about just trying to use our bagger so we don't have to pay for it, right? Give the money back because we've never used it. That's 100% from a grant. So using the bagger, hitting some marks on our solid waste management plan, you know what I mean, and throwing a couple of other things in there, such as railings where the kids can come out on the sidewalk and actually watch people getting compost and food waste coming in and stuff in a safe area, almost kind of like a patio. So we brought all that together to try to get a couple of things done at once.
Yeah, so big started off as just as a bagging site, bagging facility, and then it turned into, well, it could be a learning education center and to a demonstration site as well. So we just kind of kept growing the more we thought about it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. We're pretty excited.
And as far as once we start getting into the details, you know, we kicked some ideas around and some concepts. Charlie has been able to actually divert some wood that came in recently. So we kicked around the idea of how can we use that wood that we've diverted and build things, say benches inside the classroom, so that, you know, it's
shelves.
Hands-on ready. Mm-hmm. And when we get to that point, you know, we'll certainly ramp up exactly how we're going to set everything up inside the classroom.
And we've been talking to some solar people.
Yep.
To try to, you know, have the thing powered by solar. And we do have the backup electrical already there in place, like we talked about. Remember you asked about it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was already done. We have it in place. So we're actually looking really, really good.
Is it a year-round building?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Once it's open, we're going to have a meeting there so we can see it.
I got to tell you, we're all pretty excited about it, to be honest with you. Angie, myself, Tim, Melinda, we're really, really excited about this, to be honest with you. We have a lot of things in our mind that we want to do. So once we get the building, right, you can start putting other things together and really make this thing look wonderful.
What's going on with the old scales? Are we
The old scales, so we talked to our vendors, right, and the scales, the platforms were past their life expectancy, right? These things, 15 to 20 years, these scales were like 25 years old. The one scale, the outbound scale, was actually at the Ulster landfill. We used it when the landfill was open. Mm-hmm. So we talked about bidding them out, but then if you bid them out, right, you'd have to reprogram all the load cells, all new couplings, all new wiring, and you're looking at like $15,000 to $20,000. So who's going to buy old decks and put, you know, and parts are hard to get.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Which is part of the reason why we had to replace ours, because it was becoming obsolete, difficult to fix, more expensive to fix.
So we called the three metal guys and said, hey, what's the best price you guys can give us for these decks? And so we got the best price, and we moved them out of here. We have to start making some room, because one of the things we want to do is add some signs over there in that employee parking lot up there where you see the boxes to start diverting traffic up that way and not backing them up this way. So the scales are up there. We also have some forklifts and stuff that we want to get rid of, some other old surplus stuff that we want to get rid of. So what Tim and I, after this board meeting, are going to work on getting rid of some of that stuff too. So the scales are gone, which is great. And now we're going to work on getting rid of some old boxes and some old equipment.
So that was some income in the treasury report.
Yeah, and when we did the New Paul scale, just for frame of reference, we didn't get the scrap.
We didn't get the scrap, no.
Charlie, weren't there two Rochester compactors involved also?
There was three compactors.
What's the status of the three compactors from Rochester?
The three compactors are right now staged in an area where at some point in time we'll probably get rid of them as surplus, or maybe use them down at the MRF as a backup for our other compactor. Haven't really decided. I gotta be honest with you. We've been so extremely busy with everything that's been going on around here. We still have the road out here we have to do, and I gotta talk. That's a shared service kind of thing, so I gotta talk to Frank about that to see if we can get moving on that. Plus, end of the year grinding that we have to do. Chips are always a concern when it comes to food waste. So we've been really, really, really busy.
Charlie, are the three compactors marketable? Can they be sold?
Sure. You know, yeah, they can be. The answer to that question is
that something?
Are they old compactors? Sure they are. So are we going to get a lot? Probably not. We sold three of them from the town of Sorbies that weren't as old as these, and we didn't get much from them. You know, so you're buying somebody else's old, you know, headaches. They're not new compactors by no means. They're old machines. These machines are from 94.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, do we have any new business?
I do not.
Okay.
I have a question. The LSWMP, does that, are we supposed to do every 2 year updates in terms of goal setting?
Yes.
Is there an agency thinking about doing every year goal setting? Like, you guys are thinking about for 2021 in terms of agency goals?
I would say that the direct answer to that is no, but Angie and I actually just met on Friday discussing what our plan of action is. And that's after we had a previous meeting to where she's already drafted a summary, and hop in any time, a summary, basically what I would call a template for how we're going to respond biennially. But like we were chatting, it's better, we need to kind of break it up so it's not on just one person to constantly keep gathering the information. Because when you're talking about compiling something versus somebody reviewing, sometimes you lose focus on the entire document that you're working on. So I was saying to her that it was, rather than her focusing on trying to cover everything, it would be helpful if we break it off amongst the staff to let her keep updating as we go. And then from that way, she can also perform a review function on it, and we can actually continuously update the biennial document. So that's why I say, rather than just do it yearly, we're actually going to try and to do it continuously.
Okay. So
keep it updated continuously.
So Angie will be the point
yes.
person, and
yep.
you will actually be using Angie's
yes.
abilities.
Yep. Yep.
Yay.
Yay.
Excited about that.
I guess I would be really interested in seeing what a current thinking is of visions and goals for next year, considering the plan that we have printed, and maybe like looking at that.
We actually discussed about how to, you know, how formally or informally we would present it to you guys. So that was something that came up in our chatter about how we would do it. Should we bring it to you guys on a quarterly basis, a semi-annual basis? So we did have those discussions about, I don't think we came to a final conclusion, but
we'll continue to meet and be very active on it. You know, I told him I'd like to meet it once every 6 months or so, just to check in on, you know, what we can check off this list, what we're actively working on, and, you know, what things we're doing that maybe isn't articulated in there as well that will change goals in the future years. So we're actively looking at that. I've got like 15 pages down already, so.
And I had said I didn't want it to be like an item on a board meeting, you know, because I wanted us to, when we do bring it to you guys to talk about it, let you know where we are so you can see, you know, what we've checked off. I'd like it to be its own meeting to discuss, as opposed to just one item on here. I just think it's more important than just one item on here. That's all.
So, do you see it as a augmented meeting or a separate meeting?
Just a completely separate meeting. Yeah. I think it's that important. And we'll once we have, I would say, a more formal determination.
Mm-hmm.
On our end, we'll pass it along to you guys. If there's anything you want to add to it, subtract from it, more that you might want to know. We'll go from there. First time me, first time you.
Yeah. Cool.
I mean, there's the process of like actually identifying goals, and then there's like the structure of how to even think about it and the framework with which one approaches it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, there's many ways to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess like, I'm interested as much in the framework of how you go about it as in addition to what your actual goals are.
Well, there's a, DEC gave us a form, essentially, you know, 1.1, 1.2 on what we're supposed to respond to. So Angie put together, you know, based her information for us to respond based on that form so far. And I'm sure we can always add things to it, but we at least have a minimum, I would say, baseline that we need to report to them on a biennial basis.
A separate meeting sounds great.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I would like to be more involved. Unfortunately, I'm packed solid till the end of the year. But
yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything too soon, yeah. Especially mm-hmm. with year end coming up. And, yeah.
And are there other stakeholders that should be involved in this?
I would say not for that specific okay. meeting. I think that's more the staff communicating directly with you guys.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my intentions anyway.
But we got the stuff from James Pfeiffer, right?
Yeah, you sent that. I got to fill out the questionnaire for you.
Yeah. Yeah. At some point, maybe we want to have him come and talk to us.
Yep, absolutely. Cool. I thought about that.
Yeah. So, luckily, he phoned me because I lost all my computer contacts. Everything that was in Outlook was gone.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't recapture any of it? No, you
Well, I haven't really. It's going to take hours to do that. Meanwhile, all my other work is still ongoing, yeah. You know, so I just set everything up on a new laptop. I've got brand new software. I did have everything backed up in terms of documentation. It's just the contacts, poof, gone.
Mr. Chairman?
So.
Hey,
hello, Freddie.
Sorry I'm late.
Freddie, we've been waiting for you.
Come over there.
Okay.
Are we ready to go into executive session?
Move.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Back. Okay. Thank you.
Executive session. Get your tackle regarding employee evaluation.
Oh. Manjo, what would you like to say?
Yeah. Before you go into executive session, and I'm sorry I didn't say this during public comment, but I just really want to reserve, the agency to work with the legislature and the executive branch. We have a draft, as you know, of a zero waste implementation plan, which Legislative Petit has a resolution for. I think there's widespread belief that that is not a finished document. But, and one of the reasons I think it's not finished is it hasn't had input from the agency, which ultimately would have a lot of responsibility, not complete responsibility, and that's one of the things that's missing, is identifying who is responsible for what sections and implementation. We need a timeline and very specific to have the zero waste implementation plan be as specific as the local solid waste management plan is for what I consider the residual technologies, landfilling, et cetera, but have it be as specific for the waste diversion in terms of by whom, by when, how much, that level of detail. So we are gonna move forward in terms of going through it section by section. I would really like to invite agency staff and members of the Zero Waste Implementation Committee to participate in that process. You could do it on your own and give us the information, or I think more beneficially if we have a collaborative conversation and, you know, really come up with a refined plan that has a high level of support from all the stakeholders. So I think I said something like this 6 months ago, but it's now in front of the legislature. There's impatience because it's also been there for at least 4 months, not as long as the local solid waste management plan, but it has been there a while. And I don't think it's going to move until it's a document that everyone feels good about. And I'm speaking now specifically about the Zero Waste Implementation Plan, which is in front of us. So I encourage the agency to figure out a way, even if it's, you know, an hour a week or whatever works for staff and the Zero Waste Committee that you have formed.
No, In your mind, do you see the zero waste improvement plan taking the place of the local solid waste management plan? Because I have a problem with that that is what's happening.
I don't, and I don't think anyone that I've talked to does either. It's a parallel document that would be as specific but more focused on waste diversion. But right now, a lot of the language is to promote, to encourage. We want to get it to the point that says to do.
Clearly, you read both plans. You see parallels between the plans?
Absolutely. Yes.
Except for one thing in my mind. The Zero Waste Improvement Plan speaks nothing to one of our major problems, and that's a local landfill, okay?
You know,
and the reason I mention that is that we're spending $8.5 million a year on transportation and disposal, and that problem is going to get worse as Seneca Meadows comes to a point where it can no longer handle it, and then we're really going to have a problem. But the Zero Waste Improvement Plan doesn't address that at all. But the Solid Waste Management Plan does. So I can't make that.
I think it's my take on it is that the Zero Waste Management Plan is focused on diverting waste so that that facility is built, hopefully here in the county, and lasts longer because more and therefore you're not.
So we can
agree to disagree, but that's
Nana, I don't have a problem with waste diversion. I don't think anybody here has a problem with waste diversion. But and in your own words, you agreed that there would need to be a landfill to take up the slack when whatever we couldn't divert would have a place to go.
Yes.
We don't have that.
Yes.
And it's going to cost us a fortune. We don't have that. We don't have the place for that override residue to go, okay? Yeah. And I think I can, this is a safe statement, the recycling markets are not as robust as they should be.
We need to really worry about the markets with the old laws, right? Mixed news, cardboard, right? The 1-7 plastics, right? Textiles is extremely difficult to get rid of. We are still collecting them. We had committed in June to start that program, and we have. We've done over 8 tons, right? 16,000 pounds, over 8 of them, that's 17,000 pounds. So my question is this, and I'm gonna ask the chairman, so did we ever get a copy of the solid waste plan? Remember we were going all over the place looking at different solutions as far as solid waste? The legislators are supposed to put a plan together. Do you remember that, Fred?
Well, that was a commission plan.
Yeah, did we ever?
It never came out.
Never finished.
So we don't have that. So they were supposed to do that.
It was. It never. The final copy was never published, Manager Joe, right?
And that commission essentially dissolved or expired.
Yeah, after 2 years.
And then a solid waste planning commission was convened with some of the board members here and some legislators. And that some of what I'm saying today came out of that second commission. I do hope that, and Charlie, I think the two are absolutely complementary. You do have a way of getting a landfill. You have in the local solid waste plan, feasibility study, siting study, all of that is in the local solid waste plan. But at the same time, if we can create a plan that we all agree on to divert as much waste,
that is also in the plan. Yeah. Okay? There's 14 pages in the plan that are dedicated to exactly what you're talking about.
Can I jump in? Yeah, but the other piece about diversion, it shouldn't happen it should happen also on our end, like we're doing.
Responsibly, right.
But it should actually happen at the producer of the solid waste. Yeah. So whatever plant that comes out needs to have a really good education of the local citizens who are producing this stuff. So I'd like to see that in, and that's not our responsibility. You know, our responsibility is when it comes here.
And I want to say this, right? So I don't know of any place, right, that has a successful zero waste plan. I don't even know what zero waste means, man. Reducing waste responsibility is really important, and I think we lose sight of that, right? Responsibility and being a responsible shopper, you know, and how you manage your waste inside your house is extremely important. And that goes all the way back to the early 90s. When we talk about
80s.
Zero,
goes back to 80s. The 80s.
Thank you. So it even goes back further than that. So when we talk about zero waste, right, when, you know, reusing and diversion and stuff is not zero waste. You're still producing waste. So it's not absolutely accurate. It's eventual waste, man.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
I think we have to remember that all the stuff that is diverted on our site here is at the risk of safety of the people who are diverting it out of the waste stream, because there's massive equipment operating. There's all these trucks coming and dumping, and it's really, we're probably pretty close to the limit of what we can actually continue to do on the floor. So now we have to look back at, where is this coming from?
Yeah. And
even
the
truckers now who come in, they know what Charlie's looking to get aside. So they even managed to get that places in their truck so that when they're dumping, out comes all the stuff that he's going to be getting out to the side where we're putting it. But it's a problem.
I mean, when we look
physically
at, when we look at scrap, so I gave you the, you guys a copy of our diversion from January to July. Do you remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
And we're up from July to now, right? We're up 200 tons more.
Mm-hmm.
So those are really big numbers. You know, when you look at air conditioners and fluorescent light bulbs and stuff, we constantly exceed expectations. Constantly. And we watch it all the time. I'm over there myself pulling stuff out. And then I stay here late at night trying to get my job done. But I watch it, and everybody out there does a wonderful job, I got to tell you. But we can only do so much. If people were to say to me, well, how much are we diverting? We are diverting as much as we possibly can, everything that we see. But we have to safely get people in so they can get out of the
restaurant. I think we're good. We've exhausted this month after month, day after day, over the same stuff. Do we have other matters to attend to?
Yeah.
If we can please keep on.
Okay, we're going to executive session on employee observation.
So do we have to vote on this to go into executive session?
Yes, we need a motion.
I think we need a motion.
We need a motion to go into executive session.
Okay, I'll make that motion.
Being by Joanne, seconded by Catherine.
Okay, I'm seconding it.
You didn't realize that you were doing that?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, everyone agrees.
Okay. Oh, what happened? Does something happen on this one?
When did the agency pass?
Okay, I make a motion to adjourn.
Second,
third.
All in favor?
All in favor, we're leaving. Thank you very much. We're out.